Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you look for it, every day has cause for celebration. Celebrate a friend for their promotion, baby, wedding, life thing. Celebrate yourself for keeping the couch warm. It's no easy feat, especially if it's a big couch. Or maybe you just want to celebrate living in 2023, where you can get beer, wine, and spirits delivered from Drizly in under 60 minutes without leaving said couch. So download the Drizly app or go to drizly.com. That's DRIZLY.com and get your favorite drinks delivered today.
Hi, this is Bruce Kulick, and you're listening to Cobras and Fire Rock Podcast. Rock's not dead, it's hiding, and you found it right here.
Hey, everybody, this is Michael Sweet of Striper, and I want to tell you one thing. Rock is not dead, it's hiding, and you found it.
Hey, this is Jim Florentine, and you're listening to Cobras and Fire, and Rock's not dead. It's hiding, and you found it.
This is Jordan from Them Evils. You're listening to Cobras and Fire, Rock's Not Dead.
This is Chad Nicefield from the band Wilson, and you're listening to Cobras and Fire, and Rock's Not Dead.
Hey, Metalheads, this is Donald Pesh, and you're listening to Cobras and Fire, and Rock is Not Dead, so rock on and stay metal.
This is Erie Vaughn from Sam Hayden Danzig, and you're listening to Cobras and Fire. Rock's not dead.
Hey, I'm Steve Whiten from Kix, and you are rocking out with Cobras and Fire. Rock is not dead.
Hi, everyone. This is KK Downing, formerly of Judas Priest, and you're listening to Cobras and Fire podcast. You know what that's all about.
You're listening to the Cobras and Fire podcast, part of the Decibel Geek Podcast Network. 2018, a year in review episode. Part one. That's right, bitches. We don't just have one clip show this year. We got two. Merry Christmas.
Bobby's got a gun that he keeps beneath his pillow. Out on the street, your chances are zero. Take a look around you.
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. I'm your host, Lewis Cannon, and I am joined, as always, with the retrospective Baco. How are you, sir?
I am standing under mistletoe and kissing myself.
Ooh, nice. Yeah. I like it.
Happy holidays, Lewis Cannon.
Thank you.
Sorry, I don't want to offend anybody. Merry Christmas.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. It's Christmas.
Christmas, yes.
You have to make sure.
Smiling and greeting somebody is apparently a way to offend a Christian. So,
mm-hmm. Sure. Why not?
Anyway, we had quite a year in 2018, man. We both of us managed to not fall downstairs.
Yep, that's correct. No actual broken bones. I appreciate you sending my gift early, which is my set of six satanic Starbucks cups.
Yes.
Refillable at a 50-cent discount in any participating Starbucks. So thank you very much for those. I've been envying them from years from your posts. So
yes, right on. It's the end of the year, and we did this last year, so the holidays are kind of busy for everybody, and I got to believe for our listeners as well. And if maybe you just just want a little escape and hear little snippets of the best of the bits we did over the year, I was thinking we could do a couple episodes of that, and then we'll come back in 2019, you know, ready to you know, push our family out the front door and start off the new year with some more fresh Cobras. What do you think?
So you're saying that we're going to do the same thing that like a Family Ties would do, or Cheers.
It's a clip show.
Oh, it's a clip show. Okay, which break it down for what it is.
This is a great way talking. if Grandma's got a little too much, or if you have that uncle that's had a little too much eggnog, we should say, maybe slap on some earbuds, which you know I'm a huge fan of, and you know, escape for an hour and a half and laugh to yourself while your family wonders what the hell's wrong with the psycho with the streaming something with his earbuds.
Maybe one of those ear pods or whatever, some wireless ones that almost fits into one of your left ear. And you're
like a broken Q-tip.
No, I'm saying, those are great. But I'm saying put one of those in your ear during Thanksgiving dinner. So when your dad is going off about you know, why Trump Nation is great or why not for a while, you just start laughing at everything he says.
And because we're fair and balanced, maybe you have that aunt that is really thinks Hillary got the shaft.
The shaft.
In the last election.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. Right.
Anyway, well, you have a wonderful holiday season, Christmas, whatever they celebrate in your house there in Colorado. This is part one. So this is, it'll be roughly the first half of 2018. Eddie. Oh, by the way, Mitch LaFon posted on Facebook today that he should have been the one to interview Vinny first.
Oh, and why would that be? Was he there?
No, he's not. Ding, ding, ding. Anyway.
I just don't get it. So he should have been the first person to interview him.
He should have showed up then. Jesus.
I don't understand the logic of this guy.
I got to talk about this Paul comment he made, but before I do that, one of the things he said that kind of also got my little BS meter dinging was... he said that he's not on the internet. I'm like, oh my God, this guy is literally, you know, it's like, you know, anonymously all over the internet. I mean, we know all about all of his track record there, you know, with Meredith sending out emails and
the whole part where he says, I had no idea that people really wanted to see me or that really were obsessive about my time in KISS or something like that. Like,
where did you hear that?
Are you fucking with me?
Of course.
I read it on the Blabbermouth article. But anyway, so he goes, I like how this image you have of me, just like me hoarding all this audio and stuff like that. Just
not hoarding. It's this character you play, Mr. Above It All. I'm too good for this kind of time-consuming projects.
You talking about my character about being smug all the time, not listening to anything? Is that what you're trying to say to me?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you do know the subtitle for me for this expo was the Loose Cannon's Ego Boost. Yes?
Yeah, you could have shown up and felt great about yourself looking at the median KISS fan that we see there.
Be like, oh, my God, I guess I'm going to have to live another day. I feel good. I feel good about myself.
If I was there, I would be looking around going, this is awesome. Oh, my God, that's Vinny. And then I'd see a bunch of people that reminded me why I don't tuck in my T-shirts.
Once again, validating the T-shirt
Untuck.
Oh boy!
We should actually have as the album album as the episode art is kind of like the Love Gun cover. It's just it's you and I on top of a pedestal, and all the Kiss fans below us.
We need an art department.
We do for that. It's going to be a little too hard for Photoshop.
So anyway, towards the end of his interview with Eddie, they were talking about Gene, and he hit. And by the way, outside of this one remark all weekend, I didn't hear him say anything negative. And this could even be not necessarily construed as negative, but he was just glowing every time he talked about him. Of course, he probably has to be. But he talked about Gene and how, like, the whole email story, like, oh, it turns out he was mad at me because I wasn't responding to my emails. But
can I go on that real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
So Vinny was saying that there was an email he didn't check at a normal basis, right? Mm-hmm. Is that what it was? Yeah. And I thought to myself, what email would he have that doesn't check on a normal basis? I know which one. The one he uses when he sues people. Yeah.
Well, even that. He says something like that in there, which I'm sure you heard.
I did not. I only read it.
Where he's like, there's something I use for certain business things that I haven't needed to use in a while. So, of course, that's his lawsuit email address.
His lawsuit. He's like, well, I'm not suing anybody, so I'm not going to check it for 6 months.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, what's Gene mad at me about now?
But the thing I also thought was amusing, though, just to throw in there, is when he kept saying, like, you know, he loves them or whatever, or they're brothers to him. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Not that I heard it. But when I was reading that.
You're too busy with important stuff.
I thought to myself, you know, I have friends on different levels, but the friends that I really love are the ones that I've sued 15 times.
And lost.
And lost. But like, I really love that guy.
Legal fees out of box set money.
It's like Vinnie Vincent's version of that girl you really like on the playground when you're six and pushing her down. to sue them.
Oh,
that's how he
God.
Shows his love.
Yeah. Kiss was the hot chick that wanted to just be friends.
That's right, exactly. So he just sued the fuck out of him. God, I love you.
I love you. He's outside Kiss's bedroom with a boombox.
No, it sounds funny, but I just can't stand the pain. Girl, I'm leaving you tomorrow. Seems to me, girl, you know I've done all I can. You see a big store in the borough. Yeah. Ooh, that's why I'm easy. I'm easy like Sunday morning. Yeah. That's why I'm easy. Yeah. I'm easy like Sunday morning. I wanna be high.
Benante of Anthrax, of course. Charlie, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me.
Where am I talking to you from, by the way? Are you in New York right now? Or?
No, I'm actually in Chicago.
Okay. You live in Chicago, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
You guys get a bunch of snow over the, last 24 hours?
I wouldn't say it's a bunch of snow, but it's kind of white
okay.
out there.
I'm up in St. Paul, and we got about, 900 inches overnight, so I'm all snowed in. So.
Oh, God, well, you know what? I guess it's part of the, yeah.
No
the
doubt.
Area.
Well, I want to start with probably something I think is very important. Who has better coffee, you or Dave Ellefson?
Well,
I'm gonna put you on the spot.
Of course, I'm going to say myself, but I mean, a brief history of the coffee is, you know, I've been doing this for quite a while now. Dave started his own thing about a year or so ago, and he knows how passionate I am about coffee, and I know Dave loves coffee too.
Did he consult you at all, or?
Oh, we talked about, you know, we've always talked coffee. You know what I mean? I remember we were doing these clinics a couple of years back, and we were driving in a van, and both of us like were just like, hit that Starbucks, please. Hey, can we go to the Starbucks? Hey, can we go back to that Starbucks? You know, so he has an appreciation of the bean just like I do.
Okay. And I watched an episode of your Talking Coffee. It was a little more interesting. It was the one with Tom Araya, but you kind of got into yourself how you like the whole experience. So for you, it's almost like a ritual each morning, or?
Oh, absolutely. If I'm home, it's a certain type of experience. If I'm out on tour, it's a totally different experience because I don't like to have coffee with anyone. Like when I'm out on tour, I like to get up and just go do my own thing in whatever city I'm in. Either I'm going to find a Starbucks or I'm going to find a local mom and pop coffee place and just kind of get into that. And I feel for me that that's how I like my days to start. I like to have that experience in the morning. Whether I'm home, I have a system here that I wake up early, take my daughter to school, come home, make the coffee. On weekends, it's a different thing because I don't have to take her to school. And then we could just enjoy the whole coffee experience, you know, together.
The smell of coffee in the morning is almost like a sign that it's time to start your day. I like it anyway, but.
I mean, to me, it's like, I remember those commercials for the Army, Navy, whatever. And they're like, we do more before 9 o'clock than most people do. And I'm like, well, yeah. I'm busy making coffee.
Is Black Veil Bride or Black Veil Lie? And here's how we play. I read you a lyric, and you have to tell me if it's an actual Black Veil Bride lyric or a lyric that I made up for comedic purposes. Our contestant on today's show, hailing from the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado, home of the 1992 Denver Nuggets, who were the first 8 seed to upset a 1 seed in the NBA playoffs, we have Luce Cannon. Luce, how are you today?
I'll take potpourri for 500.
All right. Luce, did you understand the game rules and as they're such? And are you ready to play Black Veil Bride or Black Veil Lie? Here we go. On leather wings, rose from the streets with our hands on destiny. Okay. Is that a bride or a lie?
That's a bride. All right. That's all right. Excellent lyrics. What's the name of that song?
Okay. No, I'm not going to be able to answer that.
You don't even know. Go ahead. Go ahead. Next.
When you are lonely, words are holy, a deadly grip on lies.
That's a lie. Are you fucking kidding me? What a terrible band. Keep going.
Concrete heart on angel's wings, turning down a shallow path.
Yeah, this sounds like something you wrote along with Give It to Her Like a Ram when you were 17. So that song. But that's a lie. Boom! I knew it. I knew that was from the old Baco playlist. Go ahead.
Wine and vinegar stains the blood. Reach out for the forbidden fruit.
It doesn't even rhyme. That's a lie. Okay, I'm pretty good. What's my score so far?
2-2.
Okay, go ahead. So it's like my high school average.
Pain and agony, one in the same. Dirty angels falling from grace.
That's definitely a bride. Fuck! This is a very difficult game because all these lyrics are horrible.
All right, we're halfway through. Bride or lie?
Can you sing them? Can you sing them? That might make it better.
I'll try one where I'm singing. The dreams you talk about now left on broken skin. Here lies hysteria.
Here lies hysteria. Man. Lie. Fuck! I hate this game.
3-3. We got 4 left for you to actually get a point.
Okay.
Broken streets, hearts will glow. Cannot stop the panic from below.
That's real. That's a bride. You know, this is the whole thing. Like, multiple choice. If there's 10, maybe I should just keep saying bride and just, like, the same thing, like a true and false.
All right. Yeah. We got 2 left, Luce. We blaze the trail they burn, a simple lesson
learned. Bride! Bride.
I am the sanctuary.
Bride. I knew it. All I know is when you say blazed, that's a very powerful word. Mm-hmm. That's something that a bride would say. It's got the same first letter. That's a bride.
All right, you got 4 right. And wait, am I missing one here? Oh, yeah. You got 4 right and 4 wrong with 2 left to go. You ready?
Yep.
Trouble for the unborn ones. Decay will stop the aging faith.
God, these are horrible. Bride. It's amazing that you can write lyrics just as terrible as theirs.
I don't think it's that amazing. All right, so we got 1 left. This is your chance to even the score and at least go home with nothing.
But before you do that, essentially all these lyrics you've told me is a man sitting down with a thesaurus and just putting things together. Did you use a thesaurus for this?
No.
What did you do? Did you just sit there? I want to.
I'll break that down when we're done here. We got 1 left. You ready?
Okay. Go ahead. Fine.
Follow the morning star, a light when darkness fell, the passion left unholy. Now you find yourself.
That is a bride because they covered Unholy by Kiss and it was horrible. That is a bride. Yes, yes, yes!
Well, God knows.
What is your opinion on men that wear white jeans?
Well, our Andrew WK is actually white or just really fucking bleached and faded.
All right, fine. But listen to me. The other part is, but he combines it with a white T-shirt,
mm-hmm.
but not a white T-shirt that's
looks like
nice,
he spilled coffee every morning on it. Yeah.
That's right. It looks like that one T-shirt that you wear is an undershirt that you've had for like 9 years and has pit stains.
I'm not one to give advice, but girl, you're in trouble and you better think twice. Now holding up your hands with diamonds on your rings. Is it love or money that makes you do these things? I say nah.
Starts off with pathetic equals accusing others of action with no proof, and then in your favorite parentheses, because the said accusation never happened. Then while trying to usurp our audience while they publicly lie to theirs. Now, of course, is usurp the right word there, Luce?
Let me look it up, because I have not a thesaurus but a dictionary. Mm. So let me look at this real quick.
I don't think they have those in Michigan.
Would you like me to tell you the definition of usurp?
Yeah. What is the definition of usurp?
Okay. But first off, I want to ask you a question before I give that definition. No. Have you ever used usurp in conversation in your entire life?
Earlier today when I was talking to my cat, he was trying to usurp my dinner.
This is the only time I've used it. You ready?
Yes.
At breakfast.
Mm, okay.
Yeah. Can you pass that over here?
Pass what?
Usurp. I need to put it on my waffles.
All right. What's the definition of usurp? Let's see if Mark Cicchini used this right.
Okay. All right. Usurp. This is the definition.
Okay.
Take a position of power or importance illegally or by force, such as Richard usurped the throne.
Like a king or almost like a coup d'etat.
Right. But isn't the way they used it in the sentence kind of...
He's trying to say, like, it sounds like what he's trying to say is that they're trying to like piggyback off the massive three sides of the coin audience by starting shit. But what he actually said is that three sides of the coin is going to, or our Decibel Geek is going to come in and take over three sides of the coin and then turn it into Decibel Geek and all their followers come with.
In a throne? How serious did these guys dig themselves?
Maybe they sit on toilets while they podcast. That would explain why they never leave without editing.
I think that's exactly right. The thrones, now that makes more sense. They're actually... Because the show's like 2 hours.
Maybe he didn't mean usurp. Sinzak wants Cicchini's toilet.
Can you imagine? They're just sitting there. That's why there's no editing. They're there for 3 hours. They're just talking and just fucking just dumping right there.
Could you imagine an episode of Three Sides of the Coin where they're just talking and all of a sudden Sinzak and Billy Hardaway come in and bum rush Cicchini off his toilet?
Just a shame.
talk about some work pooping etiquette. Yes?
Yes.
Does that work? Okay. Uh-huh. You have your coffee. You're a coffee man, aren't you?
I am. I'm also very regular, and I let my wife know when things go off schedule.
Perfect. Perfect. Okay. Now, if I could describe this to you, first off, I am not a big fan of pooping at work. In my other job, basically, it was like all these little branches where there's only five or six people in. It was a sales environment. And you basically knew when you blew up the whoever blew up the toilet. You know what I mean? Like it was like that. So for me, I don't enjoy it. I also, first off, every single thing at work right now is the dually. One pisser, one toilet, one open door. Got it?
Yeah.
Okay. There's 50 people there at this company total. There's a total of three bathrooms set up this way, and there's three owners that work there, and they're there every day. Now, I am not exaggerating, but I go to take a piss, like, let's say once, whatever, I take a piss. It doesn't fail. Somebody is shitting in there all day. Of the 50 people, every time I go in there, somebody's shitting, and I immediately leave. Because I'm not sure if you would feel uncomfortable with this. At any given time, the boss, somebody you know, could be blowing it the fuck up, and it smells like shit as soon as I go in there. The last thing I want is one of my bosses to walk out from taking a shit and me know his brand.
Oh, you know, I go a different direction. I walk into an empty bathroom, like what you're saying, that's kind of shared, but somebody had just taken a shit. I don't want to be in the bathroom while somebody else walks in while I'm washing my hands and they think that was me.
Falling in love was the last thing I had on my mind. Holding you is a warmth that I thought I could never find. Just trying to
back to the Monsters of Rock cruise, though, there is this notice being circulated that it probably isn't real, but I think it's fun for us if we just decide it is. It looks very official. It's on Monsters of Rock, you know, stationary heading and stuff like that.
okay.
And the title of it is Masturbation Notice.
Ooh,
no,
I like it already.
Yeah, I knew you would. So I'm going to read this through, and then afterwards I'd like to hear your thoughts on it, okay?
So this is actually like something you found where?
I found it on the Meister's Facebook page. I believe he was tagged, so to speak, in this photo. So
okay, continue.
All right. Masturbation in the showers is a violation of Monsters of Rock housing code. The shower drain this has an exclamation point at the end, so I should say it loud. The shower drains are not designed to handle semen. The excessive amounts of semen in the drains cost thousands of dollars in maintenance and must be reflected in housing price increases for the next year. It's your money. Please masturbate in your own room. And at the bottom, it signs off with, please see your RA with any questions. Thank you for your cooperation.
I'm going to let you go on this right now, but I already have a huge merchandising idea. So
well, even if this isn't real, this got me thinking. Okay.
Go ahead.
What do you think I want to preface this, the single dude to single woman ratio, because I'm not claiming there aren't women on there. But what do you think the amount of single men to single women are on this thing?
You do want me to give you an answer? Or you
what do you think? What would your best guess be? Just on that.
I'm going to say 0 to 10.
It's 10 to 1 at least. I mean, women, this is not a cruise a woman goes on, you know, single. There are plenty of Meisters out there going on this. So what I'm getting at is that you're having fun. You're at basically a 24/7 rock concert. You're seeing Well, I mean, I don't know how they look now, but you know what I mean? It's like it's rock show. You know, you get drunk, you get horny, and everything is double occupancy. Now, even if it's your buddy, nobody wants to jerk off in a room with somebody else in it. Well, for the, typically. And nobody wants to be in a room with someone jerking off. So that leaves the fucking shower, man. And I don't know about you, but if there's a guest at your house, where do you want them to masturbate if they must? For me, it's a shower. As far as I'm concerned, it's just being polite.
Well, sure. I mean, there you got the shower, you got the drain, you can you know.
No cleanup.
Yes, of course. I mean, continue, please. I think that's completely acceptable.
Well, and what do you think about that? I mean, that seems like a fairly valid theory. Like, this might actually be a problem.
Yes, but can you imagine? So you're saying that the amount of semen at the Monsters Rock Cruise is enough
semen
to clog
on a cruise,
is enough to clog the pipes and cause a plumber issue more than wet wipes is what you're saying.
Yes,
this is more of a
this is
more
a bigger
of a situation.
The semen this apparently is not flushable.
Yes, but what about the worst? Can you imagine a plumber going like? Not only do you have wet wipes in here, but you have a wet wipe that you used on your own semen. This is fucking up the plumbing.
Could you imagine, if this is really a thing, imagine pulling that snake back out.
And it's nothing but like Peter North exploding everywhere.
And it's just like, what if like some kind of like weird cloning guy put all this together and like cloned like a sample of all the Monsters of Rock Cruise single guys?
You know what would happen? It would
I'll tell you right now, that guy would not be allowed at any buffet in Vegas.
I'm gonna make it bend and break. Say a prayer, but let the good times roll. In case God doesn't show, and I want these words to make things right, but it's the wrongs that make the words come to life. But who does he think he is?
If that's the worst you got, better put your fingers back to the key.
I know you saw this. Paul Stanley has chimed in with a little bit of classic Paul Stanley bitterness.
Live to win till you die.
He's getting salty.
Yes, he lives to win and to be angry all the time.
Live to win and be bitter. Be upset over petty shit. Don't let go of anything that's bothering you. Oh,
this is a good song. I think winning is him just getting the last word.
Yeah, my God, he's winning like Charlie Sheen was.
He really is. He's got tiger blood flowing through his veins.
So Gene was throwing one of his vault parties, and he was talking about how he wrote the song It's My Life. He actually credited Paul with some part of it and then said then he kind of came in. I don't remember exactly how Gene said, but Paul,
it's like saying it was a part of some other song and they put them together and merged them somehow.
Right, yeah, something along that line. So you can go out and find it easy enough. Right. But Paul, of course, you know, because he doesn't care about this stuff, you know, heard about it because he's probably constantly watching all the fucking Facebook Live videos of the 50 people at every vault party.
Can I give you a setup here, though, too, Baco?
Sure.
That right before he tweeted, can I give you the environment, what was happening in Paul's life?
Yeah, what was going on with Paul at that moment?
Okay, so he woke up that morning and took a shower and, you know, used lots of different scented, you know, body lotions and things like that and got himself all ready to go. Oh, there you go. Yeah, the bath bombs. He loves bath bombs. He wrote a song about bath bombs, didn't he? With John Mayer,
co-wrote a bath bomb song.
Yeah, sure. So anyway, so he gets all that done with that and everything, and he smells like eucalyptus, and then he walks up to a painting of himself and is staring at it. And he's just there with all of his glory and everything, and the sun is shining in. And
now, is he nude or is he wearing a robe?
Oh, he's definitely wearing a robe. Okay. He's definitely wearing a robe. And everything. And then all of a sudden, he hears Gene's little thing.
Okay.
And it sets him off into a complete star child tizzy. And what does he do? He picks up his phone and does what, Baco?
I like, in my world, he sits down on a PC and tweets.
Oh, you think he's old school?
Yeah. He just got done, you know, French pressing some coffee, and he's like, time for some tweets.
French pressing, it's Folgers 24/7 in the Paul Stanley household. Don't get your facts wrong, Baco.
All right, so he leads off.
So he's on his swing
with his laptop.
He's on his laptop. No, I think it's better with your PC idea that he's got. He still doesn't have one of those flat screens.
He's still using AOL. Like, So he sits down at his PC with a cathode ray tube monitor, and he's ready to basically strike back in a way that only the Star Child can. And so his first tweet leads off with, "For anyone it matters to, the song It's My Life had nothing to do with any other song of mine. I wrote the title, chorus, chords, melody, and lyric to It's My Life and didn't want to use it at the time. Gene wanted to use it, so he wrote the rest. That's the story at Ultimate Classic Rock. Live to win till you die." I love that he says Gene wrote the rest. Let's just recap what Paul wrote. He wrote the title, the chorus, the chords, the melody, and lyrics. What's left?
Hold on for a second. Title, chorus, chords, melody. According to my Minnesota math, this comes up to an entire song. Live to win
till you die. That doesn't sound like a guy correcting the story. That is a guy saying, fuck you, you lying fucking piece of shit. Quit fucking telling people you did anything.
It's his life.
Okay. It is his life. I just got the new John Corabi album.
Ooh.
You know, it was cool. It's a double live. It's him with like his own solo band doing the 94 Motley Crue record, right? I got it on vinyl with a digital download. And I got it on, I think, Tuesday or Wednesday. I still haven't listened to it.
Oh, man. Okay.
No, tomorrow. That's more of a personal thing. You know, when I was like if I was in junior high or high school and I had the new like Judas Priest album or Kiss album, even if I listened to it the night before, I couldn't focus on school. I would only be thinking about going home and listening to that fucking new Wasp tape. You know what I'm saying? And so now I'm like, I need to really make me time. I need time for me. I want to absorb this record. I'm really looking forward to hearing this record. I don't want to do it half-assed. I don't want to quickly download the MP3 file, throw the headphones on, and listen to it while my wife tries to talk to me as we're watching TV. You get what I'm saying? I want to have it when I can absorb it.
Can I add to this real quick?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what you want to do is listen to it on. You have the vinyl, right?
Yep.
Okay, so you want to sit on your couch. You want to have a Monsters of Rock experience. You want to masturbate into a shower while you're listening to it.
Yes, exactly. I'm just going to do that. I'm going to crank the stereo, go into my bathroom, and jerk off in the shower.
Right, because we love the music. So continue, please.
But I heard that they were giving away concert tickets on a local radio station. And believe it or not, I'm tying this all together, people.
Please.
Not to John Corabi. Just, I think it was fucking Korn or something. Jonathan Davis. And they're like, caller 10. I remember when they would like, who wants to eat a pile of vomit? You know, yeah, they would just, people would do stunts. Now kids eat Tide Pods just to eat a Tide Pod. In my day, we would eat a Tide Pod for front row seats to Motley Crue.
I understand
we
that.
Cared.
That's
it
right.
It mattered. It was something. And I think part of the reason is there's technology and all these things to ban. But the reality is that there is not this connection to music. Because, I don't know, even the people I went to school with that weren't like you and I that really got into it, were still into it. Even the people that liked the music that sucked liked music. They talked about it. They talked about the latest John Cougar fucking video. You know, it was something we discussed and embraced. And it was part of our life. And now I think part of the problem, Luce, is that, like, lyrically, there's nothing that resonates with the kids growing up. Say what you want about Nikki Sixx, but when you're 14 years old, it sounded like that guy was writing lyrics for you. Every Paul Stanley interview sounded like he was talking to you. Wasp, it was like, that guy understands me. It's like all they have now. The only artist that I see that resonates with people in a passionate way lyrically is Taylor Swift, and I think that's part of the problem.
Yeah, I see that. I mean, Taylor Swift, I mean, if she would say fuck like a beast, things would be much better, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Well, let me get into a little bit of a rant.
Please. This wasn't already a rant.
Yeah. Yeah, that was just a pre-rant. But in all seriousness, there used to be like this natural arc for how we got into music. You know, initially it was through your friends at school or maybe radio or MTV or something, whatever, depending on when you grew up. You liked what you liked, and a lot of that had to do with the friends you were hanging around. And you talked about the latest song or video. That's what you did. It was a social, like, part of your social life. Then you or one of your friends gets a license, you know, as you get older. And you start going to concerts, and you're slamming six-packs in parking lots and firing up a joint when the lights go down. And then in college, music is still important, but the shadow of higher learning turns you into a judgmental douche. And you engage in academic discussions over the latest Soundgarden record. Then you get married and you have kids, and the next thing you know, you're listening to children's music and fucking NPR in the minivan until one day your wife plans a garage sale and wants you to go through a box of junk in the attic or garage
or basement.
And that's where you see your old records and you feel like the last 9 years of your life have been one big chunk of shit. Every weekend of the past decade has been filled with activities you never wanted to do. Family get-togethers, kids' activities, ooh, fucking church. You stare at those records and you see freedom. And suddenly, the idea of leaving your wife and kids and taking your record collection to live in an efficiency apartment, eating mac and cheese while the cops pound on your door because your neighbor complained about you cranking Rat out of the cellar at 4 p.m. too loud, sounds like heaven. And then your wife walks by and says something like, huh, we're definitely getting rid of those.
Doctor, doctor,
You know, let me ask you, you just thought it reminded me of something. You know, with record sales kind of being what they are nowadays, you don't really, you seem to be a guy who just keeps forging ahead with new material. Is it tough to justify the time and effort to do that? You know, knowing that there's not going to be quite that big boom at the end there?
Not for me, because I'm passionate about what I do, and I love creating music every bit as much as I like performing it. That's never going to go away. I'll actually pay to play. In other words, what I mean by that is if it ever gets to a point where I can't get a record deal or there's no money from a label, I'm going to pay to go record my own album.
Okay.
Because that's how much it means to me. When I hear bands, big bands, mind you, that talk about how it's not worth it anymore making albums and, you know, we don't make any money. And I just kind of laugh and I think, well, why don't you just sell your gear and get out? Yeah. Why are you still doing it? Because you got in this for the love of it and now you're just in it for the money or just because, you know, you want to benefit from, you know, your art. You perform and you create music because you're passionate about it. You're expressing yourself. You love that, and you want to share that with other people. It should have nothing to do with, if you record an album and you only sell 10,000 copies versus in the old days, 2 million copies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's my opinion.
I happen to agree. The best music comes from people that are driven, you know.
It's my opinion. I mean, people would disagree with me and get up in arms and say, oh, what a jerk or whatever, and that's fine. But it doesn't change my views. I do this because I love to do it, and I'm going to love to do it until I die.
All right, guys, we're going to do some Christmas singing. Tim and Oz, why don't you guys help me out?
Oh, man.
I got a cold.
You're sick again? Bob, come on, man. You're my brother. Don't leave me hanging.
I don't know, man. I better stick to the drums.
All right.
Restaurant chain Witch Witch in Minnesota.
It.
As do I. We didn't have this in Florida or Indiana, or at least when I was there in Illinois.
Get the little brown bag, you write your name on it. Do you ever like write loose cannon?
No, it's
cannon? Sandwich is ready. Your meatball.
I've written down LC before, though.
Oh, you get to pick your little ingredients. And
that's great. It's a genius business idea. They don't have to have that stupid conversation when you get up to the...
I mean, who doesn't love walking in and the first thing you see is 900 Sharpies?
It's great. They're all red. You fill out exactly what you want. You hand it to the person. They look at you. They take your money, and then you just wait for your little baggie to be filled with glory, right?
Exactly. I do not like their paper, their napkin situation, which is basically just paper towels that aren't perforated.
I know, just rip this off like a savage.
Yeah. Like a beast.
It is, here's a just big
white
chunk
face.
Of Well, anyway, there's one near my workplace, and I go there every once in a while, maybe once every 2 weeks or so. But
you
anyway,
go with
so
a guy at work and you sit in your car and eat it?
You mean just like Sonic buddy?
Yeah, yeah.
Go to Witch, get her bags filled, and then go in our car together.
Oh, new turkey guac. Ah.
No. Anyway, it's
because you have no friends, you eat alone.
That's what I'm saying. It's much more sad. So, are you ready for this? Ready for this story or not?
It doesn't sound like it, but yes, I am.
This goes back to a previous episode, but are you a big fan of public restrooms?
Yeah, no, not at all. Oh, it's usually okay, kind of uncomfortable.
Okay, so if you
depends
have
on
to
what you're
do,
doing.
If you have to be sitting, do you like to take care of things at home or at least at work, or do you like to just go wherever you feel you? If it hits you, do you at least like to plan your day?
I do. As far as dropping some friends off at the pool, I do prefer to do that in a comfort of my own home. If I do it in a public restroom, I definitely want it to be in one that is like
familiar.
Or it's its own thing, and I like to leave with nobody seeing me.
Okay, perfect. All right. So this was the same kind of thing. So today, though, on this specific day, I should say, when I went to one of my favorite places for lunch, Witch Witch. I went there, and as soon as I got out of my car and got into the restaurant, was in line, all of a sudden, you know, nature called. All of a sudden, it hit me. It's like, you have to go to the bathroom. I went there, and again, one of these places is usually like a one-stall thing, you know.
The witches I've been in, it's like it's a toilet and a door. I mean, there's
– correct. Yeah. That's it. Yes.
It's not shared at the same time with other people.
That's right. You have your own thing. But anyway, so I was there. It was busy. It was lunchtime, and all of a sudden, I'm like, I got to go. So I go in there, and there was already – I was waiting. There was already somebody I had to wait for before.
That's the worst.
So you're in line, and you got – you're almost like the little child that wants to, like, cross their legs. Almost like,
you're doing the little
like
you're poopy using, dance.
That's right. You're like – So finally somebody comes
and
out.
They always take too long when you really got to go.
Right. So that goes into this entire story. So finally that guy gets done, leaves. I immediately get in there, lock the door, but I already have somebody behind me that's already lined up behind.
Oh, that's not a good situation for Baco.
Okay. So you already know that there's somebody that's going to be impatient on you when you're already impatient with the person in front of you that just left. Got it?
Yeah, they're really pissed off because you have to deuce and they just need to take a leak quick.
So as soon as I get in there, of course, for courtesy, as you know, I'm very courteous to others, correct?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to be as fast as possible. So I sit down to do my thing, and I'm the person also that as soon as the thing hits the water, I immediately hit the flush.
Oh, the courtesy flush. Yes, I am.
Okay. So I go to do the courtesy flush, and unfortunately, the flush mechanism is broken, and it just goes ting, 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 ting. Got it?
Yeah.
Okay, so that means it's – so, and there – no, so there's a guy waiting outside. The bowl is filled, and I go to and it's not one of these big like industrial like the you know when you wave your hand to the back of the thing and it goes or you have the big industrial flush. This is like the toilet in your house that has the lid on the top. You got it?
Mm-hmm.
So I immediately have to stand up. I'm like, I can cure this problem. This is obviously just a like a little
you're trying
chain
to repair a public restroom toilet at this point.
That's right. Well, I got a big – I got a deposit. It's got to be delivered.
You don't
it's got
to
go away.
You don't want the guy waiting outside to see it.
Witch Witch now goes to three great lengths to make the witch you want.
Regular, large, and the new 14-inch super.
You know, another plan could have been to just sit there for like 40 minutes. He would have left.
but in this situation right now, it's either I have already shit and now it's time to get off the pot. You got it?
Yeah.
So I'm now like, what am I doing? Am I just going to clean myself up and leave with this massive turd in the bowl and just like, what's up, dude? Like high five him and leave? Or am I going to try to be courteous?
No, you leave with head down in shame. Like, yeah.
Well, okay. So I'm like, okay, easy fix. So I go and I grab the top of the
Jesus,
the ceramic top, right?
Yeah.
So I get it close to the bomb. I put it down, and it goes, it cracks, and it cracks into like three pieces and a bunch of little pieces, and I'm like, God damn it. So I stick my hand in the back of this
bowl. The guy waiting in line is calling management to find out what the hell you're doing in there.
It was a big sound. And then I'm already this far in, so now what do? So I put my hand into the back and I grab that chain. I didn't put my hand in the water, but I grab that fucking chain.
Man, you're elbow deep at this point, right?
I get it. I pull the chain and it flushes, so the evil goes away. But now I'm stuck with nothing but all the ceramic thing. But it's mostly three pieces. So I'm like, what do I do now? So
are
I
you wearing flip flops?
No. Okay, I you're safe. Then. Even better. So I pick up the three pieces of the top and I put them back like a jigsaw puzzle on the top of the toilet. But there's like still like 20% of it missing. Yeah. There's all these shards. I'm like, what do I do? So I start kicking some of the ceramic pieces behind the toilet, and I reach out, and there's a couple big ones. So I pick them up. What do? I fucking slice my hand open, Paco.
Oh my God.
I start dribbling blood all over the floor. And so I have to go over to the paper towel thing. And luckily, in the paper towel, these are not the same things. You know, like you say, you don't like the napkin situation up front?
Yeah.
Right? It's the same kind of thing. Like, I just keep ripping off these swaths. I wrap my hands up. There is seriously blood on the floor. The top of the toilet is in like three pieces, kind of like just balancing on the top. I wash my hands as it's gushing blood. I did exactly what you said. I walk out. I put my head down, and I walked. I ran right out of there.
Of people are doing a lot tougher jobs than we are, and we're pretty blessed to be able to just make art and go yeah. and show it to people. That's our job. Our job is show and tell.
How come you're not playing heavy?
Well, the reason I don't play that song is because I wrote it when I was 19, 20 years old, and I wrote it about a couple friends who we're being disloyal, and I think that I kind of did myself an injustice with the way that I portrayed the song. And I'm not a very violent guy. I've never really believed in violence, and it comes off as a very violent song. And it started to show itself as that way when certain people were coming forth and offering us spots on military sites. One site offered to put the song over top of a 10-minute video or something like that of them just there was actual footage of people getting like shot and like bombs hitting the ground and stuff. And as soon as that shit starts happening, I don't want any piece of it. The song was supposed to be metaphorical,
right?
And,
yeah, it's a character. It's not literal.
And it came off as very violent. And I just got tired of spreading that kind of message to people. And I changed. I was a very different person when I was 20 years old than I am now at 25. I obviously there'll come a time when we play it again, and you have to come to terms with it because fans. do enjoy it, and I don't mean to rob people of their experience every night, but you know, I got to find a way to kind of compartmentalize that in my brain and figure out why I'm singing it before I actually start singing again. I got tired of, you know, the things that it was representing and you know, the people that I guess people were using the song, you know, in a sense that I never believed in.
Yeah, I mean, I get that, and I respect the decision there. I will tell you, that would be if I had to complain, and it would really be hard to make me complain about the show I saw, that would be it. I said I wanted to hear Heavy. But it is a great song. It, my Lord, I think it's one of the best written songs I've ever heard.
Thank you.
But I understand what you're saying. I wouldn't want to necessarily be attached to that. I it's not fair that people are taking it out of context and robbing it from people like me hearing an amazing band play it. But again, gosh, gosh, gosh.
And you know what is, when you write a song, you expect people and you hope people to take their own meaning from it. You know, mm-hmm. that's your job as a songwriter, and that's part of the business.
Yeah, but you don't necessarily really expect a meathead to turn a metaphorical song into a literal interpretation of a military aggression, you know?
Come heavy or don't come at all. You leave your peace at home, that's your call. It never paid to be merciful. Come heavy or don't come at all.
Checked out about after 3 hours of day one.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, so you yes. missed a tray, you. I've never been a big fan, but they've always had just an edge of like an 80s metal vibe to them that they
Which
do.
Which album? Because the one I listen to are all screamo.
Well, I know, but the one I have has it. Yeah, they do the screamo thing, but they'll also like some of the music and also like, I don't know. I'll tell you what, when we're done here, I'll play one of the songs that are more influenced by that, and then
good.
You can listen to that.
Because that's what I was... Did they play any of that live, by the way?
Yeah, they played the song I'm going to play here.
Okay, cool.
Towards the end of the night when I was back at the hotel, I was pretty drunk, and I remembered how the singer commented on how much he appreciated playing in front of such a diverse crowd.
Sure.
Which, of course, I was like, he's got a point. So
I agreed.
Why don't you and I list off the diversity this audience had?
Oh, yeah.
What kind of people you want to see here? I saw old white people.
I definitely did, but I also saw young white people.
I saw some slightly older than young people, white people.
Poor white people.
Yeah, some poor white people, less poor white people.
Mm-hmm. What about white people who have money but still like Atreyu?
I saw some of them there. They were at the stage. I saw white people from Wisconsin.
I also saw white people from Minnesota.
Wow. I mean, that is like a sea of diversity. It is like...
But I also saw white people passed out at 2 o'clock in the
morning.
Oh,
right. There was also not passed out white people.
We had people dressed up as dinosaurs that if you took off their dinosaur costume would be white people.
Yeah, right on. I saw white people selling beer.
I saw white people wearing Bud Light hats made out of a 12-pack.
Oh, I saw that too. I saw white people who made me look like I was 4 inches tall. Oh, no, we're having a little fun here, obviously. But, you know, back more...
There was not much diversity there.
No, there really wasn't. It was as diverse as an Indianapolis Colts football game crowd.
Or an Indianapolis 500.
Yeah, exactly. It was.
By the way, can I tell you...
It was diverse as the locker room at the Masters. Released a special Three Sides of the Coin side episode dealing only with this topic that they were not involved in at all.
Oh, so this is 3 hours of rambling conversation with no edits and also contains no facts?
It's actually 5 minutes of content stretched over 45 minutes.
And chip breaks?
I didn't see Cicchini eat during this one, but...
Okay, continue.
So did you hear it or not?
By the way, that's the same thing that people describe our show as 5 minutes of content over an hour and a half with some songs from bands you don't like sprinkled in.
There was a couple back and forths on the show about like new, I posted a thing about people don't listen to new music after 30, and I'm like, not if you listen to our show. And there's two comments. One was I skipped through to the music, and the other one was I skipped through the music. So yeah, we got them on all sides, but
that's right.
Yeah, Mike Branville.
I don't have a brand.
Boy, he got more lathered up as he went on. I mean, this is clearly still not. He's still grinding the axe about being called out in Atlanta, and that has kind of been the calling card of that show. Is like anytime they get called out on their bullshit, they go into basically Trump mode, which is deflect, detract, accuse. You know, sell this stuff, use big words like truth, and that's how it, you know, like they just.
But what about this?
Yeah, and it's like, so they focused on the lack of a contract. Maybe they got a point there, maybe they don't, but they are intentionally misrepresenting the whole thing, and that is that Vinny did not leave. Vinny, after the fact, asked for money and was declined. That is the truth. All right, we have, you know, we're a little more insiders, so we've been privy to see some of the exchanges, but there was no bad blood until Vinny went and did his statement. And these guys seem to go over that, and they skip it, and Cicchini offers brilliant, brilliant commentary like this.
Bullshit. It's the music business. Music business.
So if you find those kind of nuggets insightful, you're probably not a very smart person. Luz, did you know it's the music business? Business?
I'm not even sure that was Mark Cicchini because I didn't hear any chewing.
Yeah, he pushed away from the buffet table long enough to offer this insight.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah. That can't be very interesting banter unless your IQ is the same as your thermostat.
Well, look, we're
if you and I keep my thermostat at about 71 on average.
Look, you say what you want about the show, like it or don't like it. When they have a good guest on, I think Branville does offer some, at times, interesting things to as far as questions, and you can get good things out of it. I loved the Michael James Jackson interview. I loved the second interview with him where he came back and basically said, Paul Stanley yelled at me, and I have to correct something that I was vague on. The point being, yeah, this show has an axe to grind, okay? They keep saying, like, it's just true that this happened. When they never really, other than they said, that's not true, Aaron Camaro, they didn't prove anything. And Mark Cecchini went, did you hear Aaron Camaro jokingly apologize to Branvold?
No.
On Decibel Geek, Aaron Camaro threw out kind of like a, I guess I owe you an apology, Michael Branvold, you were right.
And yeah. We're just talking about that Vinny. Yeah,
Mark Cecchini references that without mentioning the show or the person, and says, and he apologized to you. He apologized, and he basically said, you know, I was wrong to take Vinny's side. I was wrong to lie for Vinny Vincent. And I'm like, are you? My God, how fucking either Cecchini is dumber than I think he is, or he is smarter than I think he is and knows how dumb the people who listen to that show are.
You.
Outside of me, because I'm wicked smart.
And by the way, my comment about not knowing if Mark Cecchini, that was him or not, from him chewing, is not at all some kind of rip on. That wasn't any kind of joke, which I never do about somebody's appearance unless it's Vince Neil. It had to do with the fact that he's always eating chips.
He's eating something. He was eating ice cubes on an episode.
Which are like chips, except they're just water.
Yes, they crunch in your mouth. Maybe it was a texture thing for him.
Yeah, it's all about the texture.
Fuck those guys. They knew exactly what they were doing. This is an axe. They had nothing to do with this, and yet they interject their opinion, and they refused to mention Decibel Geek or the Rock and Pod Nash, you know, the expo in Nashville.
Really? They did it that way, too?
Yeah, they just kept talking about this expo in August and this other show. You know, we all know what you're talking about, and you're a bunch of cowards, once again, for refusing to name what you're going to name. And it just, there was a post on the Kiss Room where someone said, on this topic, makes me laugh, no surprise, all these other podcasts changed their tune on Vinny and started kissing his ass after he came out, even after Vinny screwed over former band members and fans, hilarious. And the person who commented on that was Michael Branvold, who said, makes me laugh as well. I can only think of one show that actually changed their entire tune on Vinny Vincent when he decided to do the Atlanta Expo. And that was Three Sides of the Coin. It's ridiculous that they use the word truth. And anybody can see this loose. Anybody. Anybody whose IQ is higher than the number on your average thermostat.
Wow.
Yeah, and on that, too, do you think the average listener to Three Sides keeps it on really cold at 63 or cranks it all the way up to 100 during the summer? Because either way, that's not a proper use of energy.
I don't think the average Three Sides of the Coin listener can work a typical thermostat.
Every day just like
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.